Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, May 2nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXI in the fourth paragraph. We're going to be reading through three paragraphs, ending with William D. Silkworth and commenting on those. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 Steps, Juan East N. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E. will be our reader, Jordan L. will close us with page 164, and Kara L. is here to back up. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, Sunday, May 1st, is 18909, our special edition. And the reference number that is 18909. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Monday, May 2nd, is 18910. That's 18,910. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R., for your service. And I will now ask Juan East M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Juan East N. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Wendy's. And how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a nice quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using the star 1 function on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXXI, and we're reading the fourth, starting with the fourth paragraph, reading through three paragraphs. And I will ask Shelley E. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Good morning, fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page XXXI. In the doctor's opinion. His alcoholic problem is so complex and his depression so great that we felt his only hope would be through what we then called moral psychology, and we doubted if even that would have any effect. However, he did become sold on the ideas contained in this book. He has not had a drink for a great many years. I see him now and then, and he's a fine specimen of a manhood as one could wish to meet. I earnestly advise every alcoholic to read this book through, and though perhaps he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. William D. Silkworth, M.D. Good morning, my fellows. Again, Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater. And I'd like to give a greeting to the newcomers. When I read this with a sponsee, we talk about don't write off the scoffers. You know, the people who come in the door and they're like, what's this all about? And I would say when I came in the rooms, I was desperate. I have lost since then, you know, over 130 pounds. But what I really gained was sanity. What I really gained was a new beginning with my family. And I wouldn't trade that. I would actually take the weight back before I would go back to that terrible headstorm that I was in. And that's really what brought me in. I had spent an entire summer with my grown children at home, which should have been a wonderful time for us, but I couldn't even remember spending one day with them because constantly I was in the food. And when I looked up and thought about, you know, I've missed all this time with my family, I thought, I've got to do something. What the heck am I doing? Anyway, so when I did come in the rooms, I was a bit of a scoffer. I didn't know that this would help me. And when they mentioned the word allergy, I thought, allergy? What are these people talking about? This is not an allergy. But, you know, lo and behold, when I read the concordance, sure enough, that's exactly what it was, an abnormally high sensitivity to certain substances. And I definitely fell within that category. I come from a high-powered medical family, and when I came home and I went and I told my dad, I was like, hey, Dad, I got an allergy. He was like, come on. So he himself, as a medical physician, he was a scoffer. But I have since found out that, true enough, I definitely do have a terrible allergy and the brain to go along with it. But I always point out to my sponsees, too, that the last words that Dr. Soulforth gives us is pray. That's a lot. His last piece of advice is pray. And I wrote in my big book, because prayer activates the miracle. And I truly believe that. The last thing I have written in my big book, and I know it came from one of you guys, I just didn't write who said it. It says, the depth at which I accept the doctor's opinion will mark the urgency with which I work the steps. And I don't know which one of you guys said it, but it was important enough for me to put in my big book. And I live by that and repeat it almost daily. With that, I'll pass and have a good day, everyone.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. Thanks for getting us started here. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared in the last couple of days that we had meetings, then we would love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Excuse me, can you tell me the page again?
Yes, we're commenting on page XXXI, reading the fourth paragraph right through the end, finishing off the doctor's opinion.
Elaine G.
Elaine G.
Ginger C.
Ginger C. Penny C.
Roz G.
Roz G. Anybody else want to comment on this? Oh, we got a great lineup. Elaine G., Ginger C., Penny C., and Roz G. Please share with us, Elaine.
I'm Elaine G. from New York. Very grateful to be at the meeting. I want to share on the, we had read here. All I know is that before I came in, and there were times while I've been in the program that I was just doing my self-will, actually exhausting myself on my self-will, and getting more miserable and more miserable, and everything was going wrong until I finally surrendered to this book and to OA. And all I know is that I got a new sponsor, and part of me is saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do any of this reading and writing. I don't want to do a nightly review. But meanwhile, you know, doing my will, I never got anywhere but into the food, you know. So I prayed and prayed this morning about it, you know, and told myself, you know, ask God to help me be willing enough to follow directions in this book. Because, you know, she's going through the big book, my new sponsor, my first sponsee. And I know doing that, I will definitely be able to recover. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Elaine G. And Ginger C., you're up next. Star 1 to unmute, Ginger.
Hi, yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., a real compulsive overeater in Colorado. Grateful, so grateful to be back. Oh, my goodness. You know, we all have this recovery. Hopefully many on the line are in a recovered state today, just today, this 24-hour reprieve. But there's a relapse waiting, and that's my message this morning, is just remaining to pray if you're in the pain of that reality of relapse and not being able to stop, because that has been my experience in OA, is much more relapse than this recovery. And I'm just, again, so grateful to God's grace that King Food is not my message today, that I am recovering. I am through the 12 steps. I'm available to sponsor again. And I'm so grateful that I never forget to pray. And anyone who is in that situation, you know, don't give up. It is It is God's grace for all of us to not eat and to not see food as a solution to life, because I am a real compulsive overeater and I am all about food and I go to great lengths for it. And it takes what it takes. It's every beautiful bite, because until that head to heart really connects and you see this as life and death and that you have no choice and no control when it comes to the food and the amounts that you will take, step one is vital. It's everything. And it just took every bite I had to have in order to really get to that place. But I'm here today and I'm back and it's beautiful. And I'm so grateful, like this beautiful show that started us this morning. Life is about love and it's about relationships.
Thank you, Amanda.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ginger C. Welcome back. We're very glad you're here. Penny C., you're up next and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Thank you, Elaine. It's Penny C. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And oh, gosh. It's a feeling of that I have coming to the end of this chapter, like reading a good book and slowing down at the end because I don't want it to end. And that's what this chapter is like for me. I appreciate all the other chapters in the first 164 pages, and including then in addition the doctor's opinion. But this is the most, for me, the most important message I got coming to OA was that I had an illness and that I wasn't, you know, responsible for the illness, only responsible for doing what I needed to do to take care of myself, still living with that illness. Before that, I had all these things in my head, all these thoughts that I was lazy. I didn't have any willpower, and thank God for Dr. Silkworth, the little doctor who loved drunks. Well, I think the little doctor, if he had only realized how much this book was going to mean to a big number of other addicts, especially us, for the purpose of this meeting, who are, you know, who have an addiction to food or compulsive food behaviors. I'm sure Dr. Silkworth would have loved us as well. And knowing that there is a solution to the problem that I had for almost 48 years. I was 47, going on 48 when I came. And when I heard that people talked at that meeting about Dr. Silkworth, they didn't mention his name, but they talked about the fact that it was an illness and that we had an allergy and that we, and in 1934, 35, when this was written, the word allergy meant an abnormal reaction to a substance. So that fits, because I have an abnormal reaction. If I pick up something, one of my binge foods right now, I am convinced that there wouldn't be enough in the whole state of Massachusetts and maybe in all New England. For me, I would just have to keep going until I was probably, you know, in a coma from it, from the high blood sugar. It's just amazing that Dr. Silkworth knew what he knew, and he was so courageous, because if he had put his name to the first time he wrote, which the first printing of the big book did not have his name in it, because he would be the subject of all kinds of criticism and humiliation.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you. So I am just so glad that we took as long as we did on this chapter and that we really, really digested it. And for the newcomer, keep reading it. I read it. I read it often, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny C. Roz G is up next, but before we hear from Roz, I just want to let you know we're reading and commenting on page XXXI, the fourth paragraph on that page. It begins with his alcoholic problem, and it's through the rest of that chapter on the doctor's opinion. And so we'll take another lineup after Roz. So Roz, please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Roz G. I'm in a little bit of a patchy area in my car, so if it seems kind of funky, that's it. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Palmdale, California, and I want to drill down on the, though he may scoff, he may remain to pray. What do you mean, pray? You mean I get to pray? Well, yes. And what about going to the gym? What about taking these diet pills? What about intermittent fasting? What about intuitive eating? What about going to the Weight Watchers? What about that? No, pray. Pray is my gateway to God. Pray is a way for me to talk to the Creator, for me, of the universe. But when I work with people, we come up with a definition of an understanding of God. For me, it is the God of Scripture. For me, it's Jesus. And I have an open door to pray and to listen. And in the big book, the word for the code word for prayer is to ask. We ask for complete abandon. We ask for the right thought or action. We ask for, you know, God for the right direction in so many different areas. It tells us we need to pray. That wipes out all of that other crap that I did for so many years. And when I pray, and I don't get the answer right away, that's God gently, you know, just saying to me, Roz, yes, Roz, no, or Roz, I have something way better for you. And Roz, listen to what you're supposed to put in your body. I've given you this body. You're here for a certain amount of time. So take really good care of it, because this is it. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is what you've got here. What are you going to do with it? What kind of influence are you going to be on other people? How are you going to serve other people? How are you going to serve me? My primary purpose is to serve God, the people around me, to ask, to pray, not that other crap. And I'm not putting it down, because that's what I needed to do to get here, and that's how I identify. But I'm so grateful that I'm supposed to pray. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. And though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared during the last three meetings, please press star one to unmute. Let us know you'd like to share.
Jean S. from Utah.
Jean S. Thank you.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. And I heard somebody else with Rachel.
Beth P.
Beth P.
Jordan
L. Anybody else? Jordan L. Anybody else? That's a great lineup. Okay, so we've got Jean S., Deborah G., Rachel P., Beth P., and Jordan L. Please share with us, Jean. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Jean S. from Recovered Compulsive Eater from Utah. Much of this book is very poetic. I think the last line is very beautiful, actually. Though he came to scoff, he may remain to pray. That's beautiful, beautiful messaging to me. It touches my heart most warmly. I don't know that I came in to scoff, because I'm an older senior citizen type person. It took me a while to find this organization, but I do work with people in, I'm a substance use disorder counselor, and so all kinds of substances are on people's plate, and some do scoff. And what they're scoffing at is God many times. But those who come to stay begin to find a God of their own understanding. And it really is a beautiful experience for each of them and myself, as I do realize that this is a disease. We have these addictions to different substances, and that prayer, that communion with a God of our own understanding can really help us with these addictions, and it's beautiful. And I am so appreciative of Dr. Silkworth, of this program, and for all the things I've learned. But I'm really grateful to the God of my own understanding, who walks with me when I truly have moments of struggle. I can pray, and I can get answers, and I can move forward. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jean S. Okay, next we have Deborah G., followed by Rachel P. Please share with us, Deborah.
Oh, thank you so much. Good morning, and thank you so much for being of service, leading us this morning, and everyone that's made this meeting possible, and all the shares so far, 12-step in me. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I was looking back at my suffering in the food, and trying to find my way out. I was thinking I had the power of doing this and trying this and controlling this and the insanity that would continue because I was trying to do it and it doesn't work, you know. And so it was like beautiful, beautiful, alert, awake, aware of, geez, there's this book, there's this solution in this book, this beautiful way of living, these beautiful 12 steps that I learned about, the ideas contained in this book when I was taken through the steps. I didn't have any idea until I went through what could happen to me, not by me, but to me, you know, and it was just so beautiful. It was like, and it connected me with power, because I didn't have any power. I was thinking I had power with all those ideas before, those old ideas, and then finding out that there was this beautiful power that was going to help me with it, that was love and care and protection and just so many things. And then continuing to stay connected with prayer and meditation with that power, so that I continue to have a relationship with power. I had no power, but now I'm having a relationship and a partnership with power. So there is some power there. And I just, it's just so beautiful and so lovely. And I just want to share my experience with others so that they can have that same experience and the freedom that this brings. And thank you so much. All have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. You too. Okay, we are now going to hear from Rachel P., followed by Beth P. Please share with us, Rachel.
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. I want to apologize if there's anyone on the line who was on the earlier, the 7 a.m. Eastern meeting. I was supposed to be a big book reader for that, but I overslept, so I just want to apologize. And I wanted to share on these paragraphs. I'm super grateful to be on this meeting. What does it mean to be sold on the ideas contained in this book? I'm thinking deeply about that as it relates to my story. And, you know, for me, that means, you know, as others have kind of shared, like everything, every other option that I had tried before did not work, was not working. And it was, you know, this disease was progressively getting worse for me. I was spending more and more time and energy around food and obsessing about the food, restricting the food, you know, all of my behaviors I used to engage in before getting recovered. And, you know, I was to a point where I was just so beat down by this disease and so desperate that I had to have this humility that I don't have the answers anymore. And that was the, you know, that sense of desperation was the single most thing that helped me to have the humility to become sold on these ideas that, you know, if, like an if-then scenario, if I don't have the answers, if every solution I have tried has not worked, then this solution might work for me. And I've got to have a sense of hope and faith that this is going to work for me. And it took years for me to get there. Like my first OA meeting was 10 years ago. But I didn't actually start to consistently come to meetings and work the steps until 4 years ago. Actually, 4 years ago today. Today is 4 years recovered for me. And it's a miracle that, you know, I'm someone who was, you know, almost 300 pounds, a size 22. And, you know, this morning I'm like trying on size small pants that friends of mine have like given to me. And I share that, you know, not from a place of ego, but just to like reflect on, you know, that this is a progressive disease. It's also progressive recovery, right? And it is possible for everyone and anyone on this line, everyone and anyone who's desperate enough to want it and can cultivate a sense of humility that, right, I don't have the answers. Therefore, there is an answer here for me. And I can become sold because, you know, every bite, every binge, every, you know, moment of obsession and torture related to this disease has sold me on this, right? And, you know, I was one who scoffed, right? There were 6 years in between my first OA meeting and my second meeting because I was the scoffer. I was the person who didn't want the solution. I did not want anything to do with God. And, you know, I'm here to say today, if you're struggling, this works. So stick around. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. Beth P., you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Hi, thank you so much. This is Beth P. calling from Hawaii. This is a very rare moment in time when I can unmute my phone and not wake up anyone at 4 o'clock in the morning when this meeting starts for me. I love this line that he may remain to pray. Now, I've heard it said that in OA we come for the vanity and stay for the sanity. For me, although that's definitely true, it's more I stay for the spirituality and the expansive growth that's possible in this program. You know, it's just the steps keep on having more and more meaning to me. I've done them many times in different programs, but with the food, it's been the hardest one for me to get. It's like, what are my healthy boundaries around food, and how can I be totally honest about my behaviors? I've called myself recovered and I've retracted it, and now I'm saying I'm recovering because I need to get more honest. The beauty of this, of doing the steps and using the tools, is that I reach a place in my heart that when I, you know, I really truly look at my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-centeredness, and how I'm acting out of fear, with self-centered fear being the chief activator of all my defects of character. There's always some underlying fear. When I can really get honest about that and use the tools, I come to a place in my heart that feels calm, peaceful, open, and full, just full of love. And that extends outward, and it propels me to want to help, to be of service. It's just a natural outflow. And when I'm in that place, the food is in its proper place. It's not out of obsession and compulsion that I'm trying to control the food. It's more a natural flow of God's love coming through me and wanting to feed, nourish, and fuel my body so that I can be of service. It's a complete turnaround. And I'm so grateful to have this program and to have this fellowship. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Beth P. Jordan L., you are up next, and then we'll take a few more shares on page XXXI, the fourth paragraph through the end of the doctor's opinion. Please share with us, Jordan.
Thank you, Elaine, for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan Allen. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So he did become sold on the ideas contained in this book. I think about Dr. Silkworth, right? Like this, like accomplished physician. He's like sitting here writing this letter, thinking about Bill, this alcoholic, this desperate alcoholic that he has now seen three times, right? And on the third time, Bill is like miraculously cured. And Dr. Silkworth was not like he wasn't sold on these ideas in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like Dr. Silkworth is not, he's not a religious dude. He was not a spiritual dude at all. Like he believed in one thing, and that was the physiological aspect of this disease. He was really, really clear about alcoholics having, yes, a sick mind, but also a sick body, right? And he's looking at Bill, who's like, you know, this salesman, like this like skis from Wall Street, who's like, you know, that's what Bill does. He's a sales guy, man. He's selling, and he sold this doctor on the ideas contained in this book. You know, so much so that the doctor is now letting him come back into the hospital and talk to other alcoholics about his experience, and spread this, you know? So I was definitely someone who was scoffing when I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And it's all good. I'm glad that I had the space and time to experience that. Because there's no one that could have convinced me of any of this. I really had to have the experience myself in order to like fully internalize it and get to a place where I could concede to my innermost self that I'm powerless and that my life is unmanageable with or without the food. I still practice today, not managing. I am definitely someone who has remained in Overeaters Anonymous to pray with other compulsive overeaters, very much so. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I have.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. So though we do value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared the last few times, please press star one to unmute. Let us know if you'd like to share.
Wendy B. from California, please.
Wendy B.?
No, V as in Victor.
Oh, V as in Victor.
Thank you. Bonnie M. from Tennessee.
I heard Bonnie and I didn't quite catch the rest of it. What's the initial of your last name?
M.C.
M.C.? Okay. And where are you calling from?
Tennessee.
Okay, Tennessee. All right. Anybody else want to share? I have time for one more.
Amy N. from Florida.
Amy N. Okay, great. So I have Wendy V., Bonnie M.C., and Amy N. Please share with us, Wendy V.
Thank you so much. I love this. I'm definitely a scoffer. I loved hearing you. My very first meeting, I was so excited. You were all sounding so spiritual and up so early, and nobody gets up that early after a night of binging. So I didn't even know how I was going to get up with you. But I asked somebody, how do we get to this program? They said, you have to abstain for 2 days. and scoffers may scoff because I was furious. And then the next thing I heard was, you know, you give up A, B, and C. And I got such a resentment from that. Although I kept listening, I decided that I would get as much as I want, as quick as I want, because nobody's going to tell me what to eat or not to eat. But I did pray. And I didn't pray for abstinence. I just prayed, God, put me where you want me to be. And you know what? I kept showing up at this group, at this meeting, early in the morning. I don't even get up this early. I sleep in until I absolutely don't, until I can't, because I have to take my children somewhere. And I, you know, if people said, who's going to make it? If you lined 100 of us up and you said, who's going to make it? Who's not? And I still don't know, because I do take it one day at a time. I would have been voted least likely to succeed. You don't have to be anything special. That's what I'm learning. In fact, my attitude shows me more and more that this, whatever recovery I have up until this day, has absolutely nothing to do with me. I will never sit here and say, I got recovered. I definitely know that anything good that happens in my life is because I was absolutely powerless and God somehow moved me from a position that I could no longer be in and put me in a new position, not because I did it. I will never, ever take credit for anything that I've been given. If it's good, if it's transformation, if it's a change, it had to have come from God. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, Wendy V. Thank you for that. Bonnie MC, you're up next, followed by Amy N.
Okay, Bonnie. I'm Bonnie, a compulsive overeater in Tennessee. And I am grateful for the doctor's opinion. It's, you know, I never scoffed at it. Didn't quite understand it when I came in. I didn't understand how the whole process worked. But I found someone who led me through it. And I don't know how many times I've read this. Every time I read it, I find something new. Kind of like reading scriptures to me. It's like, depending on what it is you need that day, it's what you hear, it's what you see, it's what you understand, it's how it's interpreted for you. And for me, this whole idea that it's a complex it's an alcoholic problem that was so complex, his depression so great that we felt the only hope would be through what he called a moral psychology. We doubted if ever he would have any effect. But, you know, it's like I always believed in God. I always had a strong faith. But it wasn't until I came into this program and I really started studying this book and really got the things that I'm addicted to out of my system that I had the clarity that I could actually hear the Spirit speak to me and guide me in the directions I needed to go. You know, it's not that I never talked to God before. It's just that I wasn't able to hear very well. It's kind of like being at a party, a noisy party, lots of people talking and music going, and then you get a phone call, and it's an important phone call, and you need to talk to the person on the phone, but you can't hear what they're saying because there's so much noise in the room. You have to step out away from that noise. And for me, that's what this program gave me, and what this gave me was that clarity, and that clarity and serenity so that I could hear the voice of God speaking to me. And that's what I'm seeing here, is it took a spiritual event to help Bill. And it was something that the doctor was able to see the results of. And so the doctor was a scientist. He believed totally in science. Religion wasn't a big part of his life. It didn't have a big impact on what he was doing. He didn't think. But what he saw was this miraculous change. And it wasn't just with Bill. It happened with some of his other clients that Bill helped. So it's just, and that's what really stands out to me, is that when we surrender, surrender to God, our food, and our willfulness, then, you know, we can accept the situation as it is. And for me, that's what it's all about, is acceptance. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Bonnie MC. Amy N., you'll be our last share for today.
Hi, this is Amy N. from a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. The shares have been awesome. The thing that comes to mind for me is about the scoffing and the remaining to pray. When I came into program, I was so desperate for a reprieve from my compulsive eating that seeing people that had found the solution was so hopeful to me, but also so terrifying. I wasn't sure that even if it worked for other people, that it would actually work for me. And one of the things that I just so appreciate about program is that it isn't, I have had a lot of experiences in my past with people that were salesmen, you know, trying to sell me certain things about what you name it, whatever it was, religion, whatever it was. And there was always a sense of this is a sales gimmick. Like, this isn't actually coming from somebody's experience. In program, I came in and saw people that actually had been changed. And it wasn't a gimmick, which was crazy. Like, they were actually talking about how they had done the same things with food that I had done. They were just as obsessed with that next bite as I had been. They heard people, or they heard the food calling their name from the other room. They ate it out of, you know, the trash when they tried to throw it away so they wouldn't eat it, eat any more of it. And that was the thing that was magical for me, where I realized this person has been there. They actually know what they're talking about. They have been me and somehow are different. And that for me is incredible, that I don't really need to take this program on faith, in the sense that I literally can see people and hear people that have been there and have been changed by this miraculous program. And that's for me what gave me the ability to just remain in program and work the steps and do what they had said they had done to recover. And even if I didn't know that that would be me, that was going to be me, they had been just like me. And so that gave me the ability to try. So I'm super grateful that this is a WE program, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Amy Ann, and everybody that has shared today. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jordan L. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. My name's still Jordan L. So our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will disclose. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.